Amen. Thank you so much for that. The name of Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Amen. Going to look at one verse today. This is graduation Sunday, as we said, and we want to speak to the graduates. But what we have to say here really is for every person who knows Jesus Christ as Lord. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, that would be the most important thing that you need to know today before you leave this place. Jeremiah the prophet gave us a verse in chapter 29, verse 11. You'll see the placard here in front of the pulpit. He says, "For I know the plans I have for you." This is God speaking. Students, graduates, "I know the plans I have for you." This is the Lord's declaration. "Plans for your welfare, not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." That's what God says, and that's what God wants for you. I entitled this message today, "God Knows Your Name." Graduation Sunday, together we celebrate with our high school and college graduates. They have worked hard. They've studied long hours, hopefully. Many have been involved in extracurricular activities such as cheerleading, sports, Boy Scouts, choir, drama, and even finished boot camp in the U.S. Army. Some have worked jobs while in school, mixing with studying and socializing. But what I'm most blessed by is that all of them, church, I want you to hear this, all of them, all of you have remained faithful to the Lord and this church. All of you have been faithful to your youth group here for the past several years. Many of you, if not all of you, have gone on mission trips to Aurora, Illinois, Nashville, Tennessee, St. Louis, Missouri. Many of you are going to be leaving tomorrow morning with us again to go to Nashville, Tennessee. You have led Sunday morning worship. You've served at Vacation Bible School. You've been in a sound booth. You have worked with our toddler church nursery on Sunday mornings. And you have been here on work days. I was kind of putting some notes there as we were singing, and I wanted to just think about this for a little bit and call out your names, and just so the church knows. I've never done this before, and I'm not trying to honor one person over another, but I want Grace Baptist to know what this group of kids is, and now they're young adults. Tiffany has led on a worship service here on Sunday mornings for years. She's been involved in VBS dramas and been our youth leader for the past year. Mackenzie has served in nursery and toddlers, VBS and dramas. Kylie has been in nursery and toddlers and gone on Radius trips. Kayla has been in VBS, children and Radius groups. Brittany has worked with our children, always willing to help wherever we need help in those areas on Sunday. Austin has been in a sound booth, been a youth worker. Josiah has worked in a sound booth for us, been worship leader, sang with us, played the piano. Patrick has been on mission trips. Patrick and I were talking about yesterday, I think you've gone on 5 Radius trips. If not, this will be your 5th one. Always there to help out. Kyle has been there to be on our mission trips with Radius, always willing to do whatever hard work needs to be done. Alec, I'll never forget last year when we were out there and you did the chainsaw work when it was 99 degrees. It was wonderful to see him work. Jake, you're new to us, but I've always seen you pitching in and always willing to help out, doing whatever is asked. Church, these graduates have been involved in our church all of these past several years, and I think that is a testament to who they are. All the while they were serving this church and the Lord in these various ministries, they have done so with a servant's heart. In church, I've never heard any of them complain when asked to serve or do anything for us. And truly, this has been a blessing for Grace Baptist Church. Amen? And for that, I want you to give them an amen and a congratulations by clapping for them and thank them for their service. But now all of you will enter the next chapter of your life. You've graduated college. Tiffany, get a job, okay? Please. Mom, that was Mom clapping the loudest. Some graduates of college may go on to pursue further education. Austin, I hope you get to be that doctor. I'll probably never see it, but I hope you get to be that doctor. To those who've graduated high school, you're going to make crucial decisions about college and fields of study and careers. And Kayla, I hope one day when Miss Jean and I are walking one of those trails,
that we can run into you, doing what God's called you to do. You're going to make these tough decisions. You may jump right into workforce, as some of these guys have said. They're going to join a particular company and start working. And I know some parents are going to say, I'd like to see that happen. My kid work? Are you kidding me? Some of you want to join a trade, and that's wonderful. Learn a trade. Do something productive. The Bible tells us we have to work. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, the Bible says that you're worse than an infidel if you don't provide for your family. And so that's a good, honorable thing to do. And we know that Kyle has already finished boot camp, and he's going to be shipping off to the service fairly soon. We're going to pray for you, Kyle, as you're serving and defending our country. All those decisions are going to be on your plate, not to mention buying a car, serious dating, finding a spouse, or like Austin, getting married at the same time, deciding where to live, buying a house, all of that you're going to be faced with. But graduates, I want to make sure that in all of your future planning, that you keep God in your life. I'm going to try to speak from my heart today. We're not going to preach. We're just going to talk. We're going to look at some verses. But graduates, you need to keep God in your life. God is that one constant that you must keep. He must always be a part of the equation of your future. Today, I want to give you some sound facts and some commands that come directly from God's Word. And graduates, if you'll just heed the message today, God promises that He will bless you, protect you, and He will cause you to prosper. And so let's look at that. Number one, fact number one is this: God knows your name. I remember in high school, one of my best friends was also called Randy, and we were kind of mischievous at times. And we had a couple particular teachers that we liked to play pranks on. And we had some other of our classmates that their job was, when we got called down, you just simply say, Randy did it. And so that would be the thing. Randy did it. And one of our teachers, God bless her soul for putting up with us, she would never know which Randy. Can I just tell you this? God knows your name. In Exodus 33:17, it says this: the Lord answered Moses. He said, I will do this very thing you have asked for you have found favor in my sight, Moses, and I know you by name. God said through the prophet Isaiah in 43:1, now this is what the Lord says, the one who created you, Jacob, and the one who formed you, Israel. He's talking about the Hebrews here. Do not fear, I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name, and you are mine. I will be with you when you pass through the waters, and when you pass through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. You will not be scorched when you walk through the fire, and the flame will not burn you, because I know your name. He went on to say, Isaiah 43:7, God said these words, everyone called by my name and created for my glory, I have formed him. Indeed, I have made him. And that same Isaiah shouted out in 49:1, coastlands, listen to me. Distant people, pay attention. The Lord called me before I was born. He named me while I was in my mother's womb. God told Jeremiah the same message in Jeremiah 1:5. I chose you before I formed you in the womb. I set you apart before you were born. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. I know your name, Jeremiah. In Matthew 10:30, this goes even deeper how much God knows us. He said the very hairs of your head have all been counted by God. David wrote in Psalm 139:1-14, Lord, you have searched me and you know me. I will therefore praise you because I have been remarkably and wonderfully made. In Psalm 91:14, David says, because he is lovingly devoted to me, I will deliver him. I will exalt him because he knows my name. Jesus gave us that same assurance in John 10. He said this, I am the good shepherd. Jesus says, I know my sheep and they know me. As the Father knows me and I know the Father, I will lay down my life for my sheep. Graduates, you have been created special by God Almighty, the Creator, the Master, the Ruler of the universe. God made you to be who you are, and God knows your name. The prophet Jeremiah gave us these wonderful words found here in chapter 29. God knows who you are, and He has great plans for you to give you a future and a hope. Second command, or first command that we also see, not only does God know your name, but we are commanded to seek the Lord. Matthew 6:33, and we have this sign posted right outside our front door of the church. We all walk past it every time we come into this church if you're using the front doors. And I would encourage all of us to pay a mind to that. When we enter into God's house, look at this verse. It says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all of these other things, what are those other things? All of your future plans, all of your careers, all of your jobs, your education, all of that other stuff. If you will seek first the kingdom of God, all of these other things, the Bible says, will be provided for you. Jesus gives us one of life's most basic yet simplest commands. It's two words, seek God. Now, what exactly does that mean, to seek God? God gave us this commandment to this people way back in Deuteronomy chapter 6 when He was talking to Moses. He said, tell the people these instructions. And I want to read from chapter 6 of Deuteronomy, verses 4 through 9. He says, listen, Israel. We can put this, listen, graduates. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Graduates, Israel, Grace Baptist Church, adults, whoever you are, love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your strength. He says, these words that I am giving you today are to be in your heart. Repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your house and when you walk along the road, when you lie down at night and when you get up in the morning. Bind them as a sign on your hand and let them be a symbol on your forehead. And write them on the doorposts of your house and your gates. Jesus reiterated those same words to His disciples. There in Matthew chapter 22, Jesus was sitting with His disciples, and one of them asked this question, Master, which commandment in the law is the greatest? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind. There are 85 Bible verses about seeking God and knowing Jesus. Isaiah the prophet wrote in 55:6, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call to Him while He is near. Jeremiah 29:13 says, you will seek Me, God says, and you will find Me when you search for Me with all of your heart. If you will do that, He says, God says, I will be found by you. This is the Lord's declaration, and I will restore your fortunes. Or basically, if you'll just seek Me with all of your heart, graduates, God says, listen, here's My declaration, here's My promise, I will walk with you in your life. I wanted to look at that a little bit deeper. What does it really mean to seek the Lord? It means in the Hebrew to seek His presence. And that word presence is a common translation in the Hebrew to mean face. And so literally when we say seek the Lord, we are to seek the face of God. It means having a burning desire of being in God's presence face to face. Not seeking God as if God is way up there in heaven somewhere, but seeking Him face to face. God, I want a desire to have You. I want to seek You. I want to know You. I want to know You face to face. I want to come this close to the Almighty God. That's what it means to seek the Lord. Be up close and personal. Having this direct access to God. Sadly, in life, sometimes God's presence is not always our constant desire or our experience. You know, we don't mean for that to happen. We really don't plan on it. We don't like for it to happen. It just kind of creeps up on us. we fall short of God. Sometimes we fall away. Sometimes we lose interest in Him. We begin to follow others or other things or maybe even other teachings. And then we start to neglect God. And we begin to give Him no thought whatsoever. That leads to us maybe not trusting in Him like we should. We try to do life by ourselves. We try to make all of these tough decisions without the help of God. It is then when God becomes unmanifested in our life. Basically, God becomes unperceived as this great and beautiful and valuable person in the eyes of our heart. But the Word of God says, don't let that happen. Seek the Lord at all times. Have this desire to be in His presence. Have a yearning of staying connected to the Lord. Graduates, I'm going to give you some statistics, and I want you to pay attention to this. And look up on the wall. Everything that I read and statistics tell us that 80% of church kids between the ages of 18 and 24, that's all you graduates right now, whether high school or college, you all fit in this category, 80% of church kids, and the fact that all 11 of you are here today, you're church kids. 80% of church kids between the ages of 18 and 24 drop out of church. How can that be? Church kids, we've been here long enough now, we're in our 15th year. And Miss Jean and I have got to see you guys grow up. You were little kids when we first got here. Some of you are talking about med school and getting married and buying a home and a nursing degree, joining the military and all that kind of stuff. You're not little kids anymore. You're church kids to us, though. We've been here long enough. You're our church kids, but yet you're young adults. And I know that these statistics continue to hold true year after year after year. 80% of Grace Baptist Church kids will fall out of church before they're 25. I take that seriously, church, and it hurts me. And Grace Baptist, we ought to take notice of that. We ought to make sure that don't happen. But why does that happen? Kids like you have been so visible. You've been so faithful to your church. Why would you fall away? I'll tell you why. Because people stop seeking the Lord. The Lord becomes unimportant. He becomes meaningless. Oh, you still believe in Him. I'm not saying that. You haven't turned atheist. And you'll pray once in a while when you get into trouble. And maybe you'll read part of the Bible when you can find it. But this inner desire of seeking God somehow becomes lost between 18 and 24. And when that happens, when that desire of seeking God becomes lost, so does God. And so this morning, graduates, I'm encouraging all of you. I'm begging you, I am commanding you in love in the way that Jesus did it, seek the Lord. Continually seek the Lord with your life. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. Just seek the kingdom of God, and guess what? All this other stuff will take care of itself. Amen? Fact number one, God knows your name. Command number one is to seek the Lord. Command number two, obey the Lord. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, I didn't read these first three verses, but it says this. This is the command, the statutes, the ordinances the Lord your God has instructed me to teach you so that you may follow them or obey them in the land that you're about to enter and possess. Each one of you, we've heard from each one of you, you've got different avenues you're going to go down. You're going to go down different paths, whether it's college or career or whether it's the military or a trade school or a job. You're going to go down these paths. And here is the word of the Lord. He's saying, listen, this is what I want to teach you. Obey all of this on that road you're about to enter. He says, do this so that you may fear the Lord your God all the days of your life. Not fear, be afraid, but reverence Him, love Him, worship Him by keeping or obeying all of His statutes and commands that I am giving you, your son and your grandson, so that you may have a long life. He says, listen, Israel, you be careful to follow them. You be careful to obey these commands of the Lord so that you can prosper and multiply greatly, because the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you a land flowing with milk and honey. What does that mean? God has promised, listen, I'm going to be with you. I want you to prosper. I want to direct your path. I have great things in store for you. That's God's promise. But he says, you have to obey me to get to that point. All throughout the book of Deuteronomy, you'll read verses like this in chapter 11. Look, today I set before you a blessing and a curse. There will be a blessing if you obey the commands of the Lord your God I'm giving you today. But there will be a curse if you do not obey the commands of the Lord your God and you turn aside from the path that I've commanded you today by following other gods you have not known. Samuel wrote to us in 1 Samuel 15. Samuel said, does the Lord take pleasure in burnt offerings and sacrifices, or giving of your money and your time and your talents as much as in obeying the Lord? He says, look, to obey is better than sacrifice. To obey is better than giving money. To obey is better than working for the Lord. To obey is better than all this. To obey is better than sacrifice. To pay attention to the laws and commands of God is better than the fat of the rams or whatever offering you can bring the Lord. Jeremiah told us, however, I did give them this command, obey me, God says, and then I will be your God and you will be my people. But you must walk in every way I command you so that it may be well with you. God said through the prophet Jeremiah, he said, I declare, obey me and do everything that I command you and you will be my people. I will be your God. Obey my voice. In 42 of Jeremiah, whether it be pleasant or unpleasant, Jeremiah says, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God to whom we are sending you so that it may be well with us. Graduates, I know we live in difficult times. The social issues of today are challenging for all of us. And whether it be pleasant or unpleasant, sometimes we're going to have to take an unpleasant stand and say, I'm not going along with the world. I'm going to obey the voice of the Lord my God. Why? Because he says, we will certainly obey the voice of the Lord our God. Why? Because blessings happen when I do that. If I don't do that, God's word says curses will fall upon me. In Acts chapter 5, Peter and some of the apostles were wrestling with those social issues of that day. And they were preaching the word of God. And they were told, you got to stop preaching. And Peter said, we must obey God rather than men. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, Moses wrote to us, when you are in distress and all things have happened to you, you will return to the Lord your God in later days and obey him. We are all to obey the Lord, amen? Not just the graduates. That means that we obey his laws, his statutes, his ordinances, his teachings. Whatever we find in his word, we're going to obey this. Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior and our Master. In him do we trust, we say. It is in him that we pledge our allegiance to. And because of that, we are going to obey Jesus in all things, even when it's not popular in our society. Which brings me to point number four. Fact number two, you'll be blessed. The Bible says if we will seek the Lord and obey his voice, we will be blessed. I want the blessings of God, don't you? Graduates, don't you want the blessings of God? I want to prosper. I'm not saying be a millionaire, but I want to prosper. I want to be taken care of. I want to be in the will of God. And since I know that God cannot lie, Titus 1:2 says, in the hope of eternal life, that God, who cannot lie, has promised before time began. And since I know that God can do all things, Matthew 19:26, with men it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. I know that if I will just keep seeking God and keep obeying him, and because he knows my name, he promised that I would be blessed. That is so simple. And I love simple. You guys know that. How simple can this be, Pastor? I want the blessings of God. Is it simple? Is it hard? No, it's easy. Just seek God and obey his voice. Yes, it's going to require some work. And yes, you'll have to make a stand. But the promise of God is He'll bless us. And lastly, let me finish with this because I want you to be adequately warned. Point number five, and fact number three, you will be cursed. When I was writing that, I said, well, God, I don't know. Now, you will be cursed. That's kind of a weird way to end graduation Sunday. But it's almost as if God was just saying, but you got to tell them the whole story. You got to tell them the whole story. Yes, if you'll seek me and obey my voice, I'll bless you. But pastor, it also says in the word of God, you will be cursed if you do not do the things that God has pointed out. And so graduates, you need to know this. You need to hear the whole story. Yes, you can be blessed, and I believe you will be if you will seek God and obey His voice. But the Bible says if you do not do those things, God's curse will be upon you. I think it's very safe to assume, graduates, that if I asked you right now which ones of you would want to be cursed by God, I'm pretty sure no one would raise their hand, and that would be a good thing. For I, too, do not ever want to be the recipient of a curse from God. All throughout the Bible, we can read how the people of Israel who were cursed by God became that way because of their disobedience, and they had turned away from God. The curses were often in the forms of drought or famine or enemy nations conquering them and taking those Jews into captivity as prisoners of war. Sometimes the curses of God meant total devastation and total loss. Sometimes and even meant death. But let me point out this to you. The love of God never intended that to happen. He kept saying the same thing over and over and over and over in His Word. He gave the same advice and the same warnings. I like that. I get confused if I have too many instructions. You know, when you get that new appliance and the instruction manual is this big and you got to read through it, give me something simple, God. And so He gives us this word, and even when you start reading this, we might be overwhelmed. God, what can we break this whole book down into? And God says, I can do that. The message is the same. Obedience to me brings blessings, but disobedience to me brings sufferings. Graduates, people of Grace Baptist Church, you cannot afford to disobey God. You cannot afford to reject Him. You cannot afford to drop Him out of your life just because you're now an adult. In fact, the opposite is true. You need God. And you will find that as an adult, you need God more than when you were a child or a teenager. And so my word today would be stay connected to the Lord. Don't ever get to the point of your life where you will taste His wrath or His curses. Don't let that happen. And here's the good thing. You never have to. Just keep seeking Him and obeying His voice, and God promises blessings upon you. All of you have been in this church long enough to know that none of what I've said this morning is new. You've heard me preach it over and over. And why is that? Because it's the basic message from God. Obedience to me brings blessings. Disobedience to me bring sufferings. I find that's the basic gospel message of Jesus Christ. Obedience to Jesus brings the blessings of forgiveness of our sins. Life in heaven for all eternity, and having the Holy Spirit walk with me every day of my life. Obedience to Jesus brings those blessings. But my disobedience to Jesus, if I reject Him as my Savior, if I don't want Him as my Savior, it will bring the curses of eternity in hell. And so graduates, make sure of one thing today. Is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? I'm not talking about, well, yeah, I got saved and baptized one day. I'm talking about, is He your Lord and is He your Savior? You know Him in that personal way, face to face. Are you saved, born again? Are you a child of God? If not, let me encourage you to be saved today. Have God in your life from this day forward as a believer in Jesus Christ. If you already have Him, be sure of your walk. Are you a seeker? Maybe you've gotten away from God a little bit. Pastor, you don't understand. I had finals. I had this. I had graduation parties and homecoming all of this prom stuff. I get that. But now you're graduated. And maybe today's that day to say, you know what? I got away from God a little bit. I need to become that seeker I once was. Maybe you can be honest with yourself and say, you know, I started walking away from the Lord. I need to walk closer with Him. Maybe today you can make that commitment. Maybe you're saying to yourself, you know, I've kind of not obeyed some of those commands that you pointed out, Pastor. I need to start doing that. It's okay to do that today. Just rededicate your life and say, God, here, I thank you for graduating and I'm here, but I want to allow you, God, to direct my paths from this day forward so I can experience your blessings. God knows your name, graduates. Everyone sitting here today, God knows your name. And it is that name, if it's written down in the book of life, that will get you eternal life with God in heaven. And no matter what you may become here on earth, no matter what your life holds for you, it really means nothing unless you have become a Christian and you spend your eternity with God. God knows your name. Do you know Him?